This is Day to Day from NPR News. Coming up, the Unger Report goes on the road. First, though, in South America, in Bolivia, where the population is mostly Indian, there's a growing interest in what's sometimes called Indian nationalism. As NPR's Martin Costi found out on a trip to Bolivia's Lake Titicaca region, traditional chiefs are starting to gain power over official government institutions.
The people of the Bolivian Altiplano have never fully embraced the modern world. This 12,000-foot-high plateau is home to the Aymara Indians, and despite the presence of some cars and telephones, their way of life really hasn't changed much since the days of the Inca Empire. Farmer Arin Mamani digs up potatoes with his bare hands, chatting with his family in Aymara, which comes more easily to them than Spanish. He and his neighbors live in huts made out of adobe bricks and thatched roofs. In this small town, called Tiwanaku, Mamani is the local Malku, the traditional Aymara chief.
The poncho and whip that we Malkus carry are an emblem of our society, emblems that must be respected.
And the Malkus are getting respect, perhaps more so than at any time since the Spanish conquest. The Indians asserted their power last October when they blocked roads and marched on the capital, driving the pro-American president from power. Since the uprising, small-town mayors and city council members have learned to show deference to what amounts to a parallel system of local government. Mamani says the Malku government is sophisticated and well-established. Malkus are not elected. Traditionally, the position rotates once a year, and all able men have a duty to take their turn. For many years, Malku councils had westernized names, such as syndicates, unions, or non-governmental organizations. But with the recent surge in Indian pride, they've gone back to using the Aymara terminology, and the official government can no longer afford to ignore them. In Tiwanaku's city hall, accountant Teodoro Patti sits behind his computer and fidgets when he's asked about the Malku's newfound influence. The Malkus informed the city government that from now on, public employees would be hired only in consultation with them, Patti says. In some towns, the Malkus forced the mayors to replace all the public employees. Here in Tiwanaku, Patti could stay on as accountant because he comes from here. But he says about 60% of the town's employees were forced to leave. They had to accept their fate, because if they didn't, the Malkus were ready to come into the city hall and remove them with a whipping, Patti says, with a nervous chuckle. The Malkus say they got rid of the public employees who were part of the patronage system of the political party in power. The Malkus despise parties, which they see as essentially corrupt. They're planning to select their own nonpartisan candidates for town council and mayor in this year's local elections. Tiwanaku's current mayor, Lima Condor, says he has no doubt that the Malku's candidates will win. Civil society has taken power, and there won't be political parties anymore. They've told me the parties will lose in Tiwanaku, says the mayor on the phone from his house. Like many mayors, he lives in the city of El Alto, about an hour away from the town he administers, another one of the Malku's grievances against party politicians. The resurgence of the Malkus has captured the imagination of other Bolivians, even those who aren't of Indian descent, such as political philosopher and writer Javier Medina. In a dank basement underneath a discotheque in the city of El Alto, Medina gives a PowerPoint lecture to the Malkus and other Indian leaders. He tells them that last October's rebellion was part of what he sees as a larger historical trend.
La historia que empieza con Bolívar, San Martín a comienzos del siglo XIX.
The history that started with the 19th century liberators, Bolívar and San Martín, is now coming to an end, along with the idea of the nation-state, Medina says. Like many leftist intellectuals here, he believes the country is reverting to the cultural foundations of the Indian majority. But he says the elites, the descendants of the Spanish colonizers, have yet to recognize this. The romantic notion of a postmodern Indian nation is catching on even in some of Bolivia's bigger cities, where graffiti have appeared calling for a new national identity. In a bid to calm last year's unrest, Bolivia's new president, Carlos Mesa, promised a constitutional assembly in 2005. The details are still vague, but the Malkus and their fans hope that the writing of a new constitution will give Bolivia the chance to try something that's both radically new and deeply traditional. Martin Costi, NPR News.